All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who is set to compete at BFL 76, which transpires on March the 30th, and defending his BFL Featherweight Championship in a very intriguing main card bout. We have Matteo Vogel taking on Drew Brokenshire, and great having Matteo on the show. How's everything going, man? How's this camp been so far?
It's going great, brother. The camp, camp is going super, super well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's always fun getting to talk to you, man. I feel like it's been a few times at this point, but the last one seemed like a, you know, big one there, just notching that, you know, coveted, you know, first title defense and everything like that. I mean, that really seemed like a big one there, the third round TKO over Taylor Christopher at BFL 74. Can you talk about the main takeaways from that one?
That's it. Well, I had to show that, you know, it was one thing to win the belt, and I won the belt in a really close fashion. You know, it was a really razor-thin decision that won the belt, so I feel like defending it was kind of how I had to, you know, really prove that I'm the champion too. You know what I mean? It's one thing to win it, but it's another thing to stay there and, like, defend it and stamp it. You know, this is mine.
Yeah, so you felt like that was a more, I guess, like, emphatic kind of performance, because, like you said, the previous fight was, like, a little, you know, tightly competitive in a relative kind of sense. That last one was like a more dominant kind of victory that you were looking for, I guess.
It was, absolutely. Not that the first one, not to take anything away from it. The first one was a test and it was a war. And I do agree with the decision. Like, I came out on top. But again, like Nick Willett really challenged me in that. I feel like I put more of a stamp on it by knocking somebody the hell out too, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure there's some benefits to both of those experiences, like getting in like a harder, longer, like drawn out kind of fight, but then also having like a, I guess, confidence galvanizing performance where you get that big finish.
Well, you know, there are times when, or experiences or fights that have got to kind of, where you got to kind of feel your guts and what you're made of. So that was kind of the Nick Willett one. But, you know, you guys have seen me do that before. I've had fights that really, I had to pull deep from my guts and I had to, you know, really pull something out. But then, It's also good to have those fights where I can showcase, like the last one, where I could, you know, sit back and showcase some skills that I've never really shown on stage before, but I felt like last time was the time to do that, show off a bit of my Muay Thai, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, and like you talk about, like, getting to notch that first title defense, and that seems like an important thing for, you know, a lot of champions and everything, but it seemed like when you initially had the belt wrapped around you, there was that sense of, I guess, relief, like just a certain sense of, I guess, like feeling that it fit kind of thing. Like, what's the mentality like when you're, I guess, in the champion position? Like, does it differ at all? Is it a mentality where you're trying to just like preserve the belt? Has the mentality not shifted and it's the same focus? Or
I'll be honest, I don't like to think about it any differently, because I'm approaching every fight 150% every time, whether it's for a belt or whether it's not. I never half-ass things, you know what I mean? I think the reason why I am a champion is because I've taken everything so seriously. You know, I don't, I'm not the type of guy to take shortcuts when something really matters to me like this. So belt or no belt, the goal stays the same. You know, obviously, it just adds stakes, but like, if it were for a belt or not, I would still be, you know, in the gym grinding just as hard, 100% focused on one fight at a time.
And to that point, like, I mean, based on some of our past chats, you've struck me as someone that really, I guess, like, thoroughly learns about your opponent, and also in like a very like respect-minded kind of way as well. Like, that seemed the case when you were, you know, readying to fight Taylor Christopher. And I guess to that point, like, what is the, I guess, thoughts of like Drew Brokenshire in terms of like, I guess, the resume and big stylistic attributes he brings to the table?
Well, what's interesting about Drew is that he's been at it so long and he's fought big names and he's fought UFC vets and he's got valuable victories on his record, right? So it's not that he doesn't present something new kind of threat or anything like that, from where I'm standing, but what I do know about him is at least this guy's been battle-tested. You know, I'm not going in there against somebody who hasn't faced somebody high-level before. I'm going to go in there against somebody who's been at this since 2006. right? So he's been around the block a few times, and this is really a chance to prove that I belong at that next level.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm really excited to do that and to showcase that I am ready for that next level.
Yeah, and that's what this fight kind of, you know, reads as to me. Like, it feels like a certain crossroads fight, and as far as, like, he has, like, the tenured kind of, like, veteran presence, I guess. But, like, for you, the benefit would be this would be, like, that bigger kind of win against someone who, I mean, like you were saying before, I mean, some of the names on his resume as I'm going through it, like Julian Arosa, Daniel Swain, Jeremy Kennedy, he's on a, you know, 3-fight win streak, and he got a win over Andre Ewell through that stretch. So, I mean, yeah, definitely a guy who seems to be bringing a lot to the table. I feel like this would be the kind of win that could, like, vault you towards, you know, whatever, like, a great next step could be. And I guess in that kind of context, like, what would that represent to you?
Well, it represents that I belong at that UFC level. It's just, again, my ability to stamp that, or my chance to stamp that. I've been going at this hard now. This is a lifetime in the making. And I'm really just grateful for this opportunity and excited for everything to unfold. I'm not feeling any kind of new jitters. I'm not trying to add any kind of new, I guess, like, stress around this, or try to, I'm looking at this the same way I do every fight. And the way I look at every fight is 150% focus, you know? So, it is the opportunity to get maybe more high profile win, which is what I asked for last time. Not to take anything away from Taylor or Nick, but it's just I wanted to fight like this, and BFL agreed. Like, I deserve somebody higher profile to really stamp it and show that I belong at the next level.
And I'm kind of curious about this component, because actually just before our call, I was speaking with Jared Ravel, who also has a big title fight on this card. And I was asking his viewpoint on the whole Canada versus USA tagline for the event, in as far as if that emboldened a little something extra in the performance too, just kind of like viewing the bout as, like, you know, you're like an avatar for Canada in this situation. Like, you're representing the nation in this bout, for lack of a better way to phrase it. Like, what are your thoughts on all of that? Is that something that you factor in at all, or not so much?
I'm grateful to do it because I love my country and I love Canada. So it's exciting to anytime it's international. I love international fights for that reason. I love representing my country, but I wouldn't say it adds pressure. It's just more a little boost. I find it fun. I enjoy representing my nation.
Yeah, no doubt. And as far as, like,
in terms of, like, added stress or pressure or anything like that, no, I'm just looking at this the same.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of, like, where I was coming from, just, like, thinking if it would be, like, a boost or just almost, like, a benign kind of feeling, because, like, for some people, they're really looking at it through, like, that, you know, patriotic kind of lens, like, really getting to represent, but then maybe some people don't necessarily think of it like that. But cool to hear you get that, I guess, boost from it.
Well, I've always been a pretty patriotic guy. Like, I love Canada. I love my country, but I also love, like, where my heritage is too. You know what I mean? I love Scotland, and then on my other side, I also love Mexico too. Right? I love, like, I am a patriotic guy naturally. Like, even going into fights, I've walked out to bagpipe music and things like that. So yeah, it's just for me, it's like maybe a bit of a boost.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you can get to travel to those places too to compete and continue to represent even more.
Yeah, absolutely. I love opportunities like that.
And I guess in terms, because we're talking about, like, representing the nation, but on a more, like, localized level, like, I guess which gym or gyms are you, like, kind of representing in this one? Like, where are you mainly, I guess, getting in work at ahead of this one?
Well, it's funny. I've been traveling around for some training. The HQ, my base, is still same spot where we're at. We've rebranded. The new era banner is now Fight Factory, 613 Fight Factory. Oh, okay. Same team, same coaches, and same teammates, but we're now fighting under Kujeff's original banner, which was Fight Factory. And I find that's really a cool thing too. Is it going to be? I'm going to be the first fight representing Fight Factory in professional MMA.
That's awesome that it's, like, tied into, I guess, that, like, earlier part of the lineage. Like, was that kind of what led to that change? Just like going back to the roots a little bit. I mean, I guess you're kind of like making an inference to what their motivation was, but was that it?
I guess some ownership things happened. Like, they just switched over ownerships, and like it's now, you know, Kujeff is heading it with Pete, my professor, Professor Pete. So the two of them are heading it, and you know, we made some changes in the gym and things like that, but like the team remains strong. It's a really awesome energy we got going on right now in the training room. I also have, like, you know, I'm surrounded by the other fighters. Taylor was preparing for the 1FC thing as well in a few days before. She's actually fighting right before me. So being in like that competition environment again, like, it's great. I've also been training at BTTHQ with Fabio Holanda and Charles Jourdain as well every week leading up to this.
I was going to say, how is that added to what you're doing? It's obviously like a very high-level UFC name in a great space.
Absolutely. I'm getting a great push from Charles, and before that from his brother Louis as well, and as well as Diego too. And they've got like a solid room of jiu-jitsu guys afterwards too. Like, we do MMA practices in the morning, and then they've got like a lineup of black belts to train with right afterwards too. So it's going with the guy with the UFC experience, going with Charles, having someone that I can chase, it kind of lit a fire in me a little bit, you know what I mean, to have a training partner like this. I'm not used to having somebody on his level that's the same size as me. So it's a really great connection I've made there.
Well, it's awesome to hear, and it also seems like you're getting like a bit more of a desired rate of activity. Like, I know a couple chats ago you were joking, and you were saying you had like the, I guess, running joke at the gym where it's like the amount of fight camps you've done in comparison to the actual fights is like a bit, you know, comedic in a certain sense. So it seems like you're, yeah.
The amount of guys that didn't want to fight me was pretty fucking hilarious. You know, a lot of people, it was really hard to get opponents for the longest time. And since I've been in BFL, now I'm fighting pretty steady. So I'm really grateful for that. But yeah, the real boost I'm getting from going with UFC level guys and knowing that I can hang there is huge, you know, to get the hard rounds that we do over there. It's nothing quite prepares you like that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it would seem like that would represent a desired, quote-unquote, like, next step for you, like, not overlooking this particular fight, but, I mean, like, you're working with UFC guys and everything, like, is that kind of, like, the ideal landing spot, like, getting to compete in the octagon?
It is, yeah. It's kind of sitting in the ideal spot mentally and physically as well, you know, to just know that I've gone around and done hard rounds with some of the better guys in the country. It's just... you're in a good place in your head at that point, you know? I also spent time over in Bowmanville as well for a few days. I was at Cal Samrat. I got to do a fair amount of drilling and sparring over there. Drilled a bit with Matt Embry, and as well as with, you know, Bubba, and with my original opponent, James Clark. I got to spar with him. Him and I were joking. We hadn't seen that guy in 5 years since I fought him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. I mean, actually, now that you say that, I actually saw that photo going around, and that's fun. That's like pseudo my neck of the woods a little bit. Yeah, the Calcimeric guys are awesome, and just that whole, like, Rebel Alliance, like, Big Country and, like, Muay Thai Whippy, etc.
Yeah, that was awesome. And it was a great experience to spar with all those guys. They have a great room of, again, like, guys my size. It's great to have a room of guys my size that can push me. And the thing is, like, Fight Factory, we have a great system. We have a super tough gym. And we have a, you know, it's still my home and my HQ, but it's nice to be able to go with other featherweights and bantamweights, you know, and ones that can push me to that level. And to go with, like, James, for instance, it was fun to go at it with him for a few rounds, and in a way where we're, you know, there's no stress. We're just training and we're just having fun, you know.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. It seems like you've gotten a ton of great looks, and I appreciate all the great insights you've provided, but you know, just in being mindful of the rest of your schedule for today, just wondering if there's any like maybe final parting thought you'd like to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, Mateo.
I think I could say, like, I remember I told you guys last time was, I think I told you guys it was a combination of like years of hard work was the last fight, whereas this one's going to be, I think, a full technical display. I'm going to be able to show you guys like new levels of MMA. This is kind of just, I think this is the one that's going to propel me to that next level. I just feel it. Everything feels right. Everything's coming together, and I'm excited to showcase my entire skill set on March 30th.
Yeah, it's going to be very intriguing to see if anyone's in that local area. Definitely grab those tickets for BFL 76. I mean, it's probably sold out now that I say that, but at the very least, double check. And if you're not in the immediate area, can check it out on UFC Fight Pass. And to reiterate, thanks so much for coming on the show and giving great insights, man. I'm looking forward to checking this out for sure. But until then, you have a good rest of your day there, Mateo.
Hey, yourself as well, brother. Thank you so much for having me.